Good morning. Am I on? I am. Okay. Let's pray before we visit God's word this morning. Lord, we're so thankful that in your name we can have life and we can know you. Lord, we're so glad that we are abiding in you and you're abiding in us. And at the same time, Lord, we long for you to visit us in a special way. Lord, I pray you would visit us through your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to glorify your name. Increase our gratitude and our praise for you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. We are going to be looking at Ephesians this morning. Is that a little loud? Is that okay? You guys, is that good? Evelyn, can you hear me okay? Not too loud? Is that all right? Give Mark one of these if it's too loud. And one of these if it needs to go up. You can check that for us. We're going to be looking at Ephesians today and some other scriptures as well. Really, toward the end of the sermon, focusing in on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. I've titled the message, the series, before the message, we're getting into a series for a few weeks, but I've titled the series, Thanks Living. Don't be thrown by that. Not Thanksgiving, but it's okay if you call it Thanksgiving. Thanks Living for all that he has done. Let's do a pop quiz and see how well you guys know our sister in Christ, Pat McKinley. So, if you were to ask Pat McKinley this morning, how are you, Pat?
Thankful.
Yes. Amen. Amen. 5 bonus points that you have for that great answer. Thankful. And I tell you, I am so glad and blessed by that answer again and again, because it's a reminder to me every time I ask Pat how she's doing, it's a great moment to be thankful to the Lord. And what a great truth that is. We're heading into Thanksgiving here pretty soon, and certainly a time when maybe we have a greater awareness that we ought to be thankful to the Lord, and it's right to be thankful to the Lord. So much to be grateful for. One of our family traditions, when we get together for our Thanksgiving meal, we usually go around the table and everybody says something that they're thankful for. And it's usually a pretty good list. I mean, God is so good to us, even in the midst of difficulties. There's always so much to be so grateful for and to give him thanks. So let's just open it up for a moment. What are you guys thankful for this morning to the Lord? What's that? Your husband? God? Yeah, amen. What else? There's. I can't imagine a wrong answer. It's okay.
Salvation.
Amen. The cross. Yeah.
Second.
Wow. He is a God of many chances. Amen. Family. Yeah. Jesus is alive. Yes. He is risen. What's that? Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. The roof over our heads. So much to be thankful for. Well, we're going to talk today about the importance of expressing our gratitude to God. We're going to talk about the importance of thanks living. And so I've titled the message today, A Life of Thanks Living, because I believe from the scriptures that this is part of God's will for us, for his people. So first of all, let's just lay that out there, that this is what God wants for us, to have a life of thanks living. And we see this in Psalm 103, in verse 2, God's word says, let all that I am, praise the Lord. And I like that it doesn't get hemmed in with, let my worship music praise the Lord, or let my 20 minutes of singing praise the Lord, or let my hour and a half at the church property praise the Lord. It's let all that I am, praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. I love that there's no out there, too. There's no circumstance that it says where it's okay to forget God's goodness. May I never forget the good things he does for me. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the Bible says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in, that's a big three-letter word, all. A beloved pastor of mine years ago used to say, all means all, and that's all it all means. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. You want to know God's will? This is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So we're commanded, we're told, we're instructed to have lives that are full of thankfulness in every circumstance. So this is God's will for us who are in Christ Jesus. And somehow, even though we know this is God's will, and we know God's will gets done, he gives us free will to make some choices. That we get to make some decisions, that we can look at our circumstances, we can look at ourselves, we can look at people around us, and sometimes not be thankful. We have a choice to make. Matthew Henry, who was a great Bible scholar a long time ago, anybody else have the Matthew Henry commentary? I use that as a resource often. Matthew Henry was writing in his diary, this is a true story, and he had been robbed. He was walking down the street and was robbed by some men, and he wrote in his diary about this experience, and I was reading this entry into his diary. I want to paraphrase this for you today, but Matthew Henry said, let me be thankful. Let me be thankful. First, I was never robbed before. It was the first time. Second, that because although they took all of my money, they didn't take my life. Third, let me be thankful that although they took all my money, it wasn't very much. And fourth, let me be thankful that it was I who was robbed and not the one doing the robbing. I read a story, which is probably fictional, about a man who had these new pants that he was really excited about wearing, and they were wrinkled, and his wife was trying to do something nice and gracious for her husband, and she was ironing the pants, his new pants that he was so excited about, and she had the iron heating up and had the iron there on the pants and got distracted. She was probably a little ADD like some of us. I confess I flooded the bathroom the other day. I was getting the water heated up for my shaving and stopped up the sink and then went to switch out laundry or something while the water was getting hot. Came back in and there was an inch of water on the bathroom floor, and I have a very forgiving wife. Because it's not the first time I've done that. It's not even just the second time I've done that. So, Lord willing, pray for me, it will be the last. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I have a very heightened awareness that it's not great. The bathroom floor is exceptionally clean. That's not the way we want to clean it. But this wife was going to iron the pants for her husband. She had the iron heating up, and she got distracted by something, and the pants got burned by the iron. And instead of what some of us might do, which is to just immediately react with, just angst, you know, and being upset, he decided that it was better to not have harsh words. It was better to pray. And so he prayed. He said, Lord, thank you that my leg wasn't in the pants when she burned the leg of the pants. You know, this is God's will for us. It really is. This is God's will for us, that in all circumstances, we are thankful. And yes, it's okay to be sad sometimes, and it's okay to be frustrated sometimes and fearful sometimes, and that's part of life on earth. But along with that, there should be a deep, abiding gratitude to God that's expressed in thankfulness every day. There should be an expressed gratitude. J.I. Packer said, the habit of celebrating the greatness and graciousness of God yields an endless love or an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. Jesus has done some great stuff for us. Jesus has freed us The Bible says that for those who sin, they're a slave to that sin. Anybody else used to be a former slave? Who couldn't free yourself? And he paid such a high price to get us free and to give us life. The graciousness of God, the greatness of God at the cross is amazing. And yet, Luke 6:45 tells about another people that God set free. People who were slaves also. People who were slaves in a literal way, with actual physical shackles in Egypt. In Exodus 16, starting in verse 1, I'll give you a moment to turn there if you'd like. I've got slides, but if you have your Bible, I want to turn to Exodus 16. The Bible tells us in Luke 6:45, the mouth speaks what our hearts are full of, and sometimes we're speaking things that aren't full of gratitude. God has set his people free from slavery, this incredible act of grace and mercy. And not only had he set them free from slavery in Egypt, he has committed day after day, moment to moment, to care for them, just like he's committed to caring for me and you in our lives. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. Don't be tripped up by that. It's not our English word sin. This is just a geographic location. Between Elim and Mount Sinai, they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. Their freedom has occurred very recently. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted, but now you brought us out into the wilderness to starve us all to death. They're looking at their circumstances. They're in the desert. And they're looking at the people who are leading them, and they're complaining. Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "By evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your complaints." They think they're complaining to people. They think they're complaining to Moses and to Aaron. "He has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done?" Moses said. "What have we done that you should complain about us?" Then Moses added, "The Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him." He was going to bless them in this way anyway, before they're complaining. "What have we done?" Moses said. "What have we done? We didn't bless you. We're just humans. We didn't free you. We haven't done anything against you. What have we done in your lives?" Moses said, "Listen, you're complaining to us, but we're not God. Yes, your complaints are against the Lord. Your complaints, my complaints, are against the Lord, not against people." There's an incredible principle here. God is sovereign over your life and over your circumstances. And I spend a lot of time being dissatisfied with circumstances and sometimes people, sometimes me. When I know the goodness of God, I know the blessings in Jesus Christ. But sometimes my speech doesn't sound like, in my complaining, like I'm somebody who has an awareness of the goodness of God at all. Let's turn on our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. And be reminded of what the Lord's done for us today. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. This is from the J.B. Phillips New Testament translation. It's a little different, kind of a modern version. Praise be to God for giving us through Christ every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of heaven. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the goodness of our God? Through Christ, every possible spiritual benefit, and I can't begin to wrap my mind around what that entails, but it includes being a citizen of heaven. A citizen of heaven. For consider what He has done. Before the foundation of the world, He chose us to become in Christ His holy and blameless children. We're not just citizens of heaven, we're children of the living God. And He chose us for this. Holy and blameless children, living in His constant care. Living in His constant care. Reaching into eternity past before the foundation of the world. This was His sovereign will to express His mercy and His grace to us. And then to go to the cross, carrying our sin to make this possible. And then that promise of His constant care forever into eternity. In Isaiah 64, verse 4, the Bible says, "For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like You. A God who works for those who wait for Him or who trust in Him." There's so often, I think, in my frustration, I look at myself and I think about my to-do list, even my good to-do list of things that I should do, spiritual disciplines of my things that I need to start the morning with prayer, which is wonderful and good, or my reading Scripture, or my sharing Christ with somebody that day, or my encouraging somebody in the Lord, and I look at my work list for God and start basing my emotions and my speech on how I'm doing with my list, when the far greater truth, other than that God would actually work in me or through me at all to do anything good, is that He is working. He's working in my life and in your life and in our circumstances. And no matter what's happening, He wants us to have an awareness of that we have reason in every moment of our lives to be amazed and in awe of the fact that the living God today, in this moment, is at work in my life, no matter what the circumstances are. I have reason to rejoice in Him. I have reason to be thankful, to have a heart full of gratitude because God is working in my life. No matter what somebody said that hurt my feelings, no matter what somebody did that was unfair to me, no matter what good expectation I have that wasn't met, no matter what messed up thing happened to me in a broken world, I have reason, because of what Christ is doing, to rejoice and to give thanks in the Lord. God is for us. We just sang it a little bit ago. What a wonderful truth. God is for you. God is for you, not just while we're here and singing that truth, and I love getting together and worshiping God and sharing those truths with each other, but every moment of the day, no matter what the circumstance, it's God's will that we recognize that He is at work in our lives. Back to Ephesians 1. He planned in His purpose of love. He planned in His purpose of love that we should be adopted as His own children through Jesus Christ, that we might learn to praise that glorious generosity of His, which He has made us welcome in the everlasting love he bears towards his Son, towards Christ. The Father welcomes us in Christ and through Christ with the love that he bears towards the Son. It is through the Son, at the cost of his own blood, that we are redeemed, freely forgiven through that full and generous grace which has overflowed into our lives and opened our eyes to this truth. For God had allowed us to know the secret of his plan, and it is this. He purposes in his sovereign will that all human history shall be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or on earth shall find its perfection and fulfillment in him. God's saying he's working in everything, in our lives to bring about his purposes. And his purpose is to see everything consummated in Christ to the glory of Christ. Verse 11. And here's the staggering thing. That in all which will one day belong to him, what's not going to belong to Christ? Nothing. All of creation. That in all which will one day belong to him, we've been promised to share. We have been promised to share, since we were long ago predestined by him for this, by the one who achieves his purposes, by his sovereign will, meaning you can't mess this up. Praise God. You can't stop it. He's going to bless you for eternity, and you can't mess it up. No matter what kind of day you're having. So that we, as the first to put confidence in Christ, may bring praise to his glory. And you too, Paul writes, you too trusted him when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And after you gave your confidence to him, you put all of your trust in him, you were, so to speak, stamped with the promised Holy Spirit as a guarantee of purchase. God has sealed your salvation. He has sealed your adoption. He has sealed your blessing in the promised Holy Spirit until the day when God completes the redemption of what he has paid for as his own. And that will again be to the praise of his glory, because you didn't do it. He did. It's his sovereign will. No matter what frustrating things happen today, no matter what expectations aren't met, no matter what fear the enemy throws at you, God will achieve this for his glory. He is so awesome. He is so amazing. Consider in your hearts, consider what Jesus has done for us. Consider his goodness and his perfection and his greatness. Consider his promises each day to care for you. Consider his promises of abiding with him into eternity. Consider just his moment-to-moment kindness. That just blows my mind. Moment-to-moment, his kindness towards me and you. Isn't it right? All of our days should be filled with thanksgiving. That our lives should be lives of thanks living to God every day. But I struggle with that. Anybody else? I mean, I have some days that I think, man, that was a tough day. That was kind of difficult. That was a tough day. My attitude in response to what was difficult wasn't too good today. I have times where my heart is hurt and times where I said something stupid that hurt somebody else's heart. Times I'm disappointed, times that I look at somebody else's situation and it causes me pain for what they're going through. And yet God is still good. And he's still with us in the midst of those difficult times. And even in the midst of brokenheartedness and tears, he gives us reason to still be grateful. If for nothing else, to lay hold of that truth that we're not alone, that he's with us in the midst of it, and that somehow he's working good in everything. In everything. And in light of that, I would like to see less grumbling from me. I would like to see less complaining from me, because he's so good and he's so worthy of my thanksgiving from my lips every day. So how can I do it? How can I be more grateful in my heart, genuinely? How can I express that gratitude and thankfulness with my lips and with my life? How can we do that? I think Paul answers this a little bit in Ephesians 5. Please turn with me to Ephesians 5, and let's start in verse 1. And Paul's inviting us here to consider the greatness of God's character and this invitation to be more like our Father. And he reminds us what God has done for us. He reminds us of our relationship with him. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. Imitate God. Imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. The Apostle Paul tells us, live a life filled with love. He's saying, be filled with the love of Christ. Be filled to overflowing. Be filled with the love of Christ. And when that happens, it changes what comes out of our mouth. There's more thankfulness there. There's more life coming out of our speech. People are actually drawn to Jesus when we're filled with love. Let's skip to verse 8. For once, you were full of something else. Once you were full of darkness. Once you were full of darkness. I don't like to visit that very often in my thinking, but it's true. Not just walking in a land of darkness, but in my own nature before receiving salvation in Christ and being born again. Once you were full of darkness, but now, praise Jesus, now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Paul tells us, live a life that is full of the light of Jesus Christ. Live a life that is filled with the goodness of Christ. A life that is filled with truth and holiness. Live a life that reveals the character of God to the world around you that's watching. Live a life that's filled with love. Live a life that is filled with light. It's a great instruction. How do I get there? Because when I try to do it myself, I don't do too well. How do I do that? How do I do that in all circumstances? How do I do that when that job that I was counting on goes away? How do I do that when my heart has been connected with this individual, this friend, and they turn their back on that friendship and my heart is hurting? How do I walk in love and in light when I've acted unforgiving or in a way that didn't show Christ very well to somebody? Look at verse 15 with me. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Be like those who are wise. That's the New Living Translation. It's a good translation. The Phillips translation says, live life as men who know the meaning and purpose of life. Live like people who understand that this life is for God's glory. It's not for my happiness. God's plan for your life, for my life, is to conform us to the image of His Son more and more. It's not for fleeting happiness. Live wisely. Verse 16, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make good use of your time, he says. And that's going to look different in your life and my life probably. Different circumstances, different things that are wise and good use, but I can guarantee you something it includes is thankfulness. In every circumstance, in every situation, being thankful, making the most of every opportunity to see what God is doing and to revel and rejoice in what God is doing and to thank Him for that. Not to spend even moments, like I do sometimes, complaining like a fool who doesn't know how good God is. He is so good. Verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand the will of God. Understand the will of God. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5, we shared this at the beginning of the sermon. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will. This is God's will for you and me who belong to Jesus Christ. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Did anybody else read that for a long time and think it was just really all about not getting drunk? Well, it is. It's you know, getting drunk helps you to do stupid things stupider. And it will, you know, ruin your life. Been there, done that. God saved me from it. But I think it's more inclusive than that. I think the Lord's telling us, those who are wise, those who understand the goodness of Jesus Christ, don't spend your days controlled by your appetites, whether that's for wine or video games, or promoting yourself in your career or whatever. Don't spend your life pursuing things that aren't going to lead to life. Don't spend your days pursuing just sin and pleasure or even success, the world's version of success, which means nothing. Be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we get to that place of thankfulness. That's how we abide in that place of gratitude. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some translations word that be filled by the Spirit. It's not just a matter of being filled with the Spirit. We're sealed with the Spirit. The Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit at salvation. But be filled by the Spirit. Instead of filling yourself up with the stuff of earth that is passing away, let the Holy Spirit fill you with what He wants to fill you with. Be filled with gratitude by the Holy Spirit in every circumstance. What's that look like? When we're filled by the Holy Spirit in our lives, Verse 19. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. And I think that among yourselves is important. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, encouraging each other with the word of God, encouraging each other with the worship of God, instructing each other, helping each other to fix our lives and our thoughts on Jesus Christ, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Encouraging each other, instructing each other as we sing psalms together, but making music from our hearts to the Lord. When we are filled by the Spirit, our hearts are engaged in worship directed to Jesus Christ. And we don't care what anybody thinks about how off-key we are. That's me. You guys sing great. We live our lives singing praise to an audience of one, the King of Kings. And he doesn't care how bad his kids sing. He just loves hearing us sing. He just loves that our hearts are drawing close to him and enjoying worshiping him. Verse 20. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the Phillips translation does a good job here on verse 20. Thank God at all times for everything. That's pretty clear. Thank God at all times for everything. This is what life filled by the Holy Spirit looks like. Thank God at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Daily thankfulness. A life of thankfulness. Doesn't mean I don't have times when I'm sad or frustrated or tripping over my own feet or making a mess of situations and relationships. Times that I'm afraid. Times that I'm worried. But by the Holy Spirit, I can surrender all that to Him. I can come to Him and be reminded and strengthened as I draw near to God. I can acknowledge who He is in the midst of my mess. I can be reminded what He has done for me and what He's doing now every day to carry me and to help me know Him more. And I can have a life of thanks, living even in the midst of the mess of this world. Verse 21, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this is part of being filled by the Spirit as well. Certainly we're called to treat each other with dignity and with respect. I think this means even more than that. I think it's specifically saying we need to acknowledge the Moseses and the Aarons in our life and be thankful and not grumbling and complaining against them, because it's really complaining against God. He's saying when you're filled by my Spirit, you're able to submit to God and you're able to submit to legitimate authority in your life. I'm going to close with a story that Jesus told in Luke 12. Worship team, you're welcome to come back up. Jesus told this story of a man that at least at times reminds me of me. A rich man had a fertile farm that produce fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. I wished he would have paused and just thanked the Lord and acknowledged that those crops were from God. It wasn't his doing. Then he said, I know. I'll ask the Lord what he wants me to do with all that. No, he didn't do that. He had his own plan. He said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Full of the things of this world. But God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you've worked for? Jesus said, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth and not have a rich relationship with God. God put us in the places we're in for his purposes, for his glory. And it's okay to do the tasks that we're responsible to do and to show up to work and to be wise and good stewards with what he gives us. So much better, though, to fix our eyes on Christ in the midst of everything we're doing and pause and to thank him for all, for everything in our life. To have a life that's overflowing, not with grain and wheat, and you know that's okay, it's not a sin. But how much better if he didn't have enough room to store his thankfulness? How much better? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you have sealed us. We put our trust in Christ. And your call upon us is not to do better, but to surrender. And Jesus, help me today with that. In every moment, in every circumstance, to submit my heart to your goodness, to let you fill me up with gratitude, God, help me, help us, God, not to complain to or about anybody, because you're sovereign over my life, and if you've allowed situations, God, for your glory and for my good, even if I don't understand it, God, help me to not act like a fool and speak like a fool and grumble, but to act like who I am, somebody who has experienced the goodness of God. Let me be quick to praise you and to thank you, so that you will be able to use that, Lord, maybe to encourage somebody else that just needs to hear how good God is today. When somebody asks me, how are you doing? And I can say, I am thankful. I'm thankful to God because he's so, so good to me. And he's so good to you. Do you know him? Thank you, Lord, for giving us more than 10,000 reasons to bless your name. More than 10,000 reasons to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that although I know I'm sometimes still going to mess up and complain, thank you for your blood that's paid for that. But thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, which is encouraging me even today to know the blessing and goodness of your will, which is to live a life of thanksgiving to you. Lord, you're so good. Thank you for giving us voices today, those who have them, to be able to praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.